And today's sermon is pretty eclectic, touching on a bunch of things. We're in Judges chapter 2 again, verses 11 through 15, and we constantly speak about how this book is the book for the church today. The children of Israel would call on God, but they were a complete mess. They didn't know their spiritual history. They didn't teach it to their children. And we have this constant cycle of sin where the people would fall into horrible idolatry, disgusting perversion, go into bondage, call on the Lord, he would deliver them, appoint a judge. And as I was saying to our group on the phone, this happened 12 times. So this is our book for today. So we're going to be explaining who Baal is, who Ashtaroth is. We'll be looking at Elvis, and we'll also be looking at the problem for young girls in Japan, as well as Jerry Lee Lewis, and also reading the Jewish Encyclopedia today. So we have a full sermon, and again, want to tie it all together. And it's definitely applicable for today. So let's pray, and then we'll get started. Almighty God, the living God, we thank you, Lord, that we can call on your name, that we can be with you this day. We don't take it for granted, Lord, that we, for now, still have a peaceful nation to worship in, and our churches are open, or they should be open, and we're able to, again, call on your name and also use technology, Lord, to reach our brothers and sisters who are sick and shut in instead of them completely missing the service. We pray, Lord, that you would please keep the distractions to a minimum. We pray that you and you alone will be glorified today. We pray, Lord, that you would give me the words that you would have me speak, and that I would be faithful in proclaiming the gospel message, Lord, which is we know your Son going to the cross, dying for us, paying for our sins, redeeming those who would believe in him, rising and ascending into heaven and sitting next to you, Lord, at your right hand, and smashing his enemies every day. And we ask, Lord, that you would, again, give us mercy on this day. Help us to take your word and not just hear it, but to apply it. We thank you, Lord, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So today we're going to be in Judges chapter 2. We're going to discuss, as you'll see, we need to know who Baalim is, or Balaam. And we need to understand the text if we're going to understand the book. So reading from Judges chapter 2, verses 11 through 15, we read, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Baalim. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth." And we'll explain that. "And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoiled them. And he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed." So if you remember in the book of Judges, we see Joshua, who led the children of Israel into the promised land to gain their inheritance, he passes away. And God in Scripture, he warns the people. He said to be careful in the land that you're going into. Keep my commandments and make sure you pay attention to your wives, to your children, to your grandchildren, the generation that haven't walked with me personally are going to forget the things that I've done for you. So that's why last week we spoke about how it's very important, more than knowing all the players on your city's football team or soccer team or basketball team, your children, your grandchildren, they should know who the 12 apostles are. They should know what the 12 tribes of Israel are, who they were. They need to know history. And then according to your particular culture, from where you came from, and speaking to Americans mostly as I am, they need to know what a blessing this land was to them. How the common law and Anglo-Saxon culture, which is so maligned today, I mean, anyone who came to this land, the freedoms we have, is it's not even because of just European culture, it's strictly Anglo-Saxon culture, which was distinct from the European continent. All these things that we have, freedom of speech and freedom of religion and even the right to have firearms, weapons to defend ourselves, all of these things come from a rich tradition. So we need to teach our children and remind them that as they sit back in a peaceful house with all their gadgets and enjoy themselves and, you know, order takeout food, and this didn't come about by accident. Men died, literally, so that we would have what we have now. And the saints of God, literally, were martyred, so we would have the rich history that we have now, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. We read about how the faithful prophet, priest, apostle, minister, many times paid with their lives. So we need to remind them of the mighty works that God has done for them to have the things that they have today, as well as those who are faithful in the Lord. That's what we need to focus on. And God's people didn't. They didn't heed the warning. And as I mentioned on the outline, God's people fell into the trap he warned them about, failing to properly educate their children in the history and ways of God. They chased after Balaam. Their children became the rock and roll generation, abandoning the teachings and faith of their people for perversion. So the original rock and roll nation, God's people falling away, chasing after sex, drugs, and rock and roll, that's in the Old Testament. We could see the way the people fell prey to these perversions. And to understand exactly what happened to them, and then this is where Elvis and Jerry Lee Lewis and Japan comes into it later in the sermon. Don't be nervous. I didn't drink too much coffee this morning. There's a point to what I'm speaking about. So let's look at, we can go to, I like using sources that have truth in it, that is from other cultures, other religions at time. If we go to the Jewish Encyclopedia, Jewish people know their history. They know what the pitfalls of the history was. So I have a scholarly article, which I link to, from the Jewish Encyclopedia, and it explains Baal worship. And this is in the Jewish Encyclopedia. Again, you have the link. So remember, Baalim was the way we have the Godhead in Christianity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Baalim was the whole set of gods involved in Baal worship. So there was Baal, the male god, Ashtaroth, the female god. All of these religions that have been perverted, those religions outside of Christianity, they are fertility cult religions. They all worship the sun. They believe the sun is the male entity which impregnates the earth, and that's how we get life. The sun, its rays, are seeds that hit the earth and bring about life. Now, unfortunately, it didn't stop there. The people would believing that the sun literally had sexual relations with the earth would act these things out in their lives and in their religion, in their practices. So, as we're told in the beginning of this article, I'll go down to the middle, what I highlighted. Dangers and evils of the worship. The noxious elements in such Baal worship were not simply the degradation of, as they say, Yahweh, and the enthronement in his place of a baseless superstition. The chief evil arose from the fact that the Baals were more than mere religious fantasies. They were made the symbols of the reproductive powers of nature, and thus their worship ministered to sexual indulgences. which it at the same time legalized and encouraged. Further, there was placed side by side with the Baal a corresponding female symbol, the Asherah, or Ashtar. And the relation between the two deities was set forth as the example and the motive of unbridled sensuality. The evil became all the worse when, in the popular view, Yahweh himself was regarded as one of the Baals and the chief of them. And they quote Hosea chapter 16, which explains the perversion of the people in northern Israel. It was in northern Israel where agriculture was more followed than in the southern kingdom that Baal worship was most insidious and virulent. The book of Hosea speaks eloquently and pathetically of the moral and religious ruin which it wrought in the days just before the fall of the monarchy. And remember this, northern Israel fell roughly 722 BC. The Assyrians came and smashed it. The tribes of Judah and Benjamin in the south, what we call Judah, that lasted a little bit longer to about 586 BC. So Israel in the north fell first, and it explains why. In the kingdom of Judah, the inveterate evil was abated, if not at once quelled, by the concentration of all religious acts in Jerusalem and its temple. More pernicious while it lasted than this popular inland Canaanitic cult was the elaborate official Baal worship of Ahab and Jezebel. And anyone who reads those Bibles should recognize those names above alluded to, which was finally rooted out by revolution and prescription. It had prophets by the hundred as well as priests, and had the effect of virtually, though not avowedly, putting the religion of Yahweh under the ban. It was introduced into Judah by Athaliah, daughter of Jezebel, and its suppression there was also accompanied by a civil outbreak, which you could read about in 2 Kings. Baal worship did not play so great a part in the later religion of Judah as did the adoration of the heavenly bodies and related usages borrowed from Assyria and Babylonia. Yet the customs native to the soil lingered on till they were obliterated by the exile. Now this Baal worship is still with us, and it's pretty nasty. I can't mention all things, but your children are being taught this in school and in popular culture. We are back to fertility worship and perversion in all the West, not just in America. I mean, we're one of the worst examples, but in Europe, everywhere. And this is continuous. Your children are bombarded with it. So I challenged people last week to Google the top 10 songs of today, since we don't pay attention much to our children, what they watch, what they look at, their music. And I challenged you to watch the videos. And basically you see they're taught how to be criminals and whores. I mean, that's the sum of the music. And the occult is rife in the music. And if you doubt what I'm saying, there was an article in Teen Vogue which is explaining to young girls menstrual blood magic, three spells for your period. So you really need to pay attention to what your girls are looking at, what your young boys are looking at. This is the type of disgusting filth that they're being taught in major periodicals. And then if you look up the woman that they were quoting, we see that it's a Seattle-based Bree Luna, a.k.a. the Hood Witch, has 472,000 followers on Instagram. On her website, thehoodwitch.com, her profile picture shows an attractive young woman wearing a black dress that reveals both tattooed cleavage and one tattooed thigh, holding a crystal ball in a ring-bedecked hand. Now, this isn't just particular to one culture. We have Maria Abramovich, and this was brought out as far as how many stars and politicians from Lady Gaga, who actually vacationed with her, to Hillary Clinton, who was supposedly involved with the whole spirit cooking. Spirit cooking is Baal worship. It is the mixing of blood and urine and fecal matter, feces, and they draw with it. And they do artwork. and all of our elites in society, the politicians, the actors, the actresses, they go to these exhibitions. There is you can see Jay-Z dancing with her. You know, I guess she's a white lady that he likes because she's a witch and a demon. So these are the things that are in the culture. So we're not reading about something ancient that isn't hurting us today. It's in our lives. But to show you what a degenerate group we have in this country, and that's why there is hope for a reformation, for the younger group, the younger generation, because their parents and grandparents are so filthy and so blind to the evil that there is hope for them. And that's why we have to give the gospel. We have to mention all these subjects that the Bible mentions, whether you like it or not. We can't be bashful. God gave us the word to arm ourselves. Not everything in the Bible is a neat and nice devotion. God gives these passages so we warn our children and they don't learn from their stupid friends or acquaintances at school, or even worse, their perverted teachers who are now sleeping with them and molesting them. So we have to speak and show the disgustingness of what God was condemning. And that's why people who don't know their history will say ridiculous things like, oh, why did God allow the genocide of a certain people? Why did he allow these people to be suppressed? Because they were thoroughly disgusting, diseased, and perverted. You need to know that. God's people have nothing to apologize for. At one time, we cleaned up this mess. Now, it's all back again. So to show you what happens when you back off on God's judgment, there are 6.8 million Instagram posts of women professing to be witches themselves. There's one gentleman, this is, I guess, a TikTok account, a witch talk boy who offers spells and curses, has had 8.2 million likes and offers bookings. So this is not, again, everything that our Protestant forefathers were criticized for, like suppressing these people and pushing this stuff back into the darkness where it belongs. As Christianity retreats, all this comes back. And who's made to pray for these people? Our children. Now, what's amazing, I saw this article on Yahoo, and this is what parents get mad about. The witchcraft, the spells, and I guess this doesn't bother people. What bothers American parents? Well, parents outraged after Florida high school edits girls' yearbook pictures to make clothes look more conservative. So a high school in Florida is facing accusations of sexism after it reportedly edited dozens of yearbook pictures to make female student outfits more conservative. According to Action News Jax, Bartram Trail High School altered 80 different yearbook photos, all of them are girls, and many of them crudely photoshopped rectangles in the color of the girls' clothing can be seen covering up their chests. Many of those students have expressed outrage. And we have parents complaining. And when you look at the yearbook pictures, mind you, these girls are in ninth grade. And some of them were wearing clothes which showed some cleavage, which, and any decent person, who cares about a girl in ninth grade, her cleavage? So what the school did, they actually edited their tops to cover the cleavage, thinking it was proper. Not only did the students complain, the parents are in an uproar. So this is why I'm telling you, we are going to have to rebuild culture. This nation has lost their mind. And I guarantee you, in Florida, in this district, these people complaining, I guarantee probably 80% of those people attend some soft evangelical church. I mean, this is what we're dealing with today. So, the devil is alive and well. And the church might pretend he's not there, but God knows he's there. And that's why he warns us in Scripture. So Baal, Baalim, was their godhead. And it was, again, something filled with perversion that is with us today. It is not anything strange. So that's the first point. It's closer than you think. So now you know what Baalim is. You know who Baal is, who Ashtaroth is. Your occult symbols, where you see as above, so below, a lot of these symbols that meet in the middle. This is all fertility worship. This is all the sun god mating with the earth god. And the sun god, of course, is male, and the earth god is female. So point number two, which we're going to jump to, the type of wholesale sin the people of God participated in brought God's wrath upon them. If God did not discipline them through their enemies, all would be lost. Sexual perversion destroys the family unit, which destroys a nation. So your first form of government, we have the family, we have the church, and we have the state. Everyone has made the government their God. They've forgotten about their family. They forgot about keeping their church in line, their Christian family. So we have this distortion. But if you can pervert the family and break up the family unit, you have a nation of slaves. So governments that want control and they don't want strong citizens help to destroy the family. That's why we're in the condition we're in today. And people walk around like, you know, I can't put my finger on it. I don't know why we're having so much trouble. We are perverted. The families, the church, and the government. We will not stand. And if we don't get this right and teach the true gospel, the gospel that God wants people to hear, the full gospel, we're going to lose what our forefathers gave us, these rich blessings that God has given us. And we are like the children of Israel in the promised land. There was never been a country as wealthy as we've had with all the conveniences we have. But instead of using that extra time to fellowship, to be with our families, to be with other believers, we use it to hang out and be perverted. With all the word that we have around us on the internet, with our Bibles, no one picks them up. If you don't want to read, fine. I found there's a great YouTube program, Alexander Scoresby. It's set to piano. It's great. And he has a nice accent reading the KJV, which I don't have. And it's very enjoyable. Play the Bible in the background. I mean, make yourself busy with it. Whatever you're doing, hear the Word of God. And you need to teach your children and your family to do this. You can't hang out all day with the television. So we need to teach our children. And if you haven't cut the cord on cable and regular TV, you should have done it already. Get a streaming service and pick and choose if you're going to watch some of these things. So we have Paul explaining what happens to a nation. Everyone should know Romans chapter 1. And I go over it hundreds of times for a reason, because you need to know where it is in the Word where Paul explains this. So turn to Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32. And we'll read this together. Paul explains what God was saying in the Old Testament, what would happen to his people if they became perverted, if they followed after the religion of the devil, which is the religion of the world. Paul nails it. And you need to know this part of Scripture. So we're told, starting at verse 18, this is a perfect match with Judges chapter 2. This is the magnum opus. You need to know where it is when it comes to dissecting a culture that has abandoned God. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God and glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even if they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, deceitful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So much for this lie told by many churches. God's not against lesbianism or sodomy as long as it's in a marriage. Paul doesn't mention marriage here. He mentions the act between same-sex people and says it's disgusting. It's something that should be hidden. It's an abominable sin that people should, through fear of God, should keep in the dark and work on repenting of it. It's nothing that's honorable. And from A to Z, from evolution, which we've embraced, to the sexual perversions, we've repeated everything that is in God's Word. And that's why they don't want the Bible read, because it gives you marching instructions on how to live your life. So if you think it's only nowadays that we're mired in this stuff, well, following the commands of Jesus Christ allows a nation to flourish. Retarding the effects of sexual sin builds a healthy and prosperous people. Sin of the worst type was tolerated in this nation a long time ago. So if you think it started now, things were so innocent in the 50s, you're badly mistaken. The perverts were already out. They were already admired, already taking control of music, where people had certain cultural music that each group had. And we now have rock and roll taking over. And we see the beginning of this. Now, one of the hypocrisies of the culture, if a man isn't very good looking, and if he doesn't have money, if he assaults a woman or he's improper, well, you know, he's a pervert, and he can usually get the full weight of the law, even for something like just bumping into a woman on a train. But boy, if a man is handsome, good-looking, or has some money, how quick the society is to forgive these sins, both men and women. It's amazing. So here we have, this is on Showbiz Cheat Sheet. This is an article, and of course they're showbiz friendly. This is about Elvis Presley, who was a pedophile and a weird guy. But so much of it was overlooked because rock and roll was new. He was exciting. He appealed to a certain demographic. So Elvis Presley supposedly toured with underage girls. Not supposedly, he did. So we have Elvis Presley, the king, was nothing short of an icon. His impact on rock and roll is still felt today, and fans across the globe continue to enjoy his tunes. However, Presley was also a private man and kept many secrets. Ranging from drug use to a bizarre diet, Presley had many fixations in his life that others might find unsettling or disturbing. One such example was his interest in underage women, something that never seemed to flag throughout his life, and that often seems to get overlooked at. So, Elvis Presley's relationship with Priscilla Presley was bizarre to say the least. The King started dating Priscilla Presley when she was merely 14, and he was 24. Now, nowadays, you go to jail for that, right? Although this is an enormous red flag, one that often gets glossed over. Presley met Priscilla in Germany while he was serving for the military in 1959. They dated for quite some time until Priscilla moved in with Elvis in 1962 when she was only 16. This, of course, came only after Anita Wood realized he'd been cheating on her with the 14-year-old. Priscilla Presley has since claimed that Elvis Presley never had relations with her, at least not until they were married. Still a pedophile, right? By today's standards, and let's look. Apparently, Elvis lost all sexual interest in Priscilla after they had their first child. The two eventually split. Now it gets even better. Priscilla Presley isn't the only instance of Elvis Presley engaging in sexual or bizarre activity with underage girls. In Elvis Presley's Southern Life, author Joel Williamson claimed Presley brought children with him on tour. Williamson explains that while on tour, Elvis brought along 3 14-year-olds who he would urge to wrestle, tickle, and kiss him. Presley also dated several minors, including Dixie Locke, who was 15 when they dated. Presley was 22. This came before he started seeing Priscilla Presley. Unfortunately, these weren't the only examples of Presley engaging in relationships and sexual activities with children. One of the first recorded instances of Elvis Presley engaging in sexual activity with children is in 1956. Talent manager Tom Parker helped hook Elvis up with a stream of pageant queens, many of whom were underage. Jackie Rowland, who was 14 at the time, met Presley in 1956, and he invited her backstage. Presley took Rowland off to a separate room, and her mother later opened the door to find him showing her how to, quote, kiss in a grown-up way. He then asked her if he could take her child to a bar. Later, Presley had a coterie of underage girls, including Frances Forbes, who earned his attention when she turned 14. So, as we see, this started a long time ago. Now, this doesn't mean that we're all guilty for listening to a certain song. Of course, the artist's personal life and their music at times can be separated. And I'm not trying to make everyone paranoid. I'm just bringing out the point that this is a satanic culture that has been unleashed on us for a long time. It's just now coming to light. So I don't want to hear Christians say about the good old days. Things started going sour a long time ago. Now, because Elvis is Elvis, a lot of these things are overlooked. Let him have looked like Bill Gates with no money, and he would have been hanged already. But this is the way life works for both men and women. We all have our prejudices. Even better, Jerry Lee Lewis, the son of a minister. Jerry Lee Lewis married his 13-year-old cousin. The Myra Brown scandal dealt a death blow to his rock career. Yep, great balls of fire. I think his brain was on fire, too. Jerry Lee Lewis had already gone through 2 marriages by 1957. He married Jane Mitchum, his second wife, 23 days before his divorce from his first wife, Dorothy Barton, was final. On December 12, 1957, Jerry married his third cousin, Myra Gail Brown. A lot of ink has been spilled about his close-blood relationship with Myra and the fact that she was only 13 years old and still believed in Santa Claus when the pair were married. So, Elvis, Jerry Lee Lewis, obviously deserved jail time. This is the rock and roll generation. This is the sexualizing of young women. This is perversion in the industry. And that's why the title of today's sermon was Sex, Drugs, and Balaam. Nothing is new under the sun, saith the preacher. These things continually go on. Now, what a shame that in a nation like America, people were asleep at the wheel. Or maybe they weren't. Maybe they just didn't care. So this has been tolerated for too long. Now, to show you what a blessing Christianity has been to both men and women, especially women, any woman who does not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and ignores the Bible is truly insane and hates themselves. Any other culture, as I mentioned in the last point of the sermon, nations like Japan, which never embraced the Christian faith, are still mired in perversion. We see in Japan the problem so bad that on public transportation, they need to separate the schoolgirls from the men. So this is from Al Jazeera, which is very funny. You talk about the pot calling the kettle black. A magazine like this, read by many Muslim people who are also engaged in horrible sexual practices with young women. But we see they actually wrote an article, Sexual Assault in Japan. Quote, every girl was a victim. Sexual assault of schoolgirls is commonplace on Japan's public transportation, but now more girls are speaking out. Now, Japan had a Christian presence. There's a famous story. There were Christian samurai that actually held out at a castle in one of the regions of Japan. They were exterminated. And to this day, Japan is still trapped in Buddhism and Shintoism and Zen. They never grasped Christianity. So even with their material wealth, they're ahead of America with not reproducing. Because remember, one of the ironic things, the more perverted a culture is, the lower the population. That's why they push perversion on us now, because they don't think they need this many people. Japan, as I mentioned before, the sales for adult diapers are higher than the sales for children's diapers. And they're one of the first nations that will begin to disappear just because they don't reproduce. So I gave a link to the article. It's something for adults to read on their own. But it touches on this problem. So Tokyo, Japan, Tamaka Ogawa was about 10 years old when she was sexually assaulted for the first time. It was a public holiday, and she was on the subway. And it gets into what was done to her, which I won't read during the sermon. But there's a term for this. Just like there's a term for the Muslim rape game that they play, not only on women in their country, but they love to play it on women in Europe, and it also happens in America. All those grooming scandals in England that we read about, that's part of the culture. If a girl is not Muslim, she's fair game. And 20 to 30 men raping her at one time, it's a game. And in Japan, for this molestation, they have a cultural name for it. It says in 2015, she began writing about the country's long-standing problem with groping, or chikan in Japanese, often experienced by schoolgirls on public transportation. Many victims stay silent, unable to talk about the experience in a society which, by many accounts, trivializes the phenomenon. This, what they call groping, we would call full sexual assault in America. Let's put it that way. So, as we see, a world without the Christian faith is completely perverted. And those of us especially who have a wife, have daughters, this is deeply disturbing. So we need to realize what we've lost. So the same warning that God gave to Israel in the book of Judges, not to copy the sins of the people around you, or you would destroy yourself, it's the same thing that's happening in the United States today. We are about to be broken up, and it's because of our sins. So we can't blame the Illuminati, the New World Order, the Easter Bunny, Santa Claus, the Muslims, the homos, whoever. We can blame ourselves. Because if the church was strong and our families were strong as Christian families, then we're impregnable. Nothing can get through. And we can have a reformation and a revival. And even if we're only able to keep a small piece of this country, Christians should be busy making friends with other Christians, other Christian families, and preparing for the trouble that's on the horizon. Please look after your children, grandparents, talk to and look after your grandchildren. I give this link on sermon audio. You can look at the outline. You can click on the links. I give links to these articles. Speak to your family about it. Let them know that none of this is new. And because you love them, the perversions that a lot of us had gotten caught up in, we don't want for them. So let's stay faithful and let's understand the Word of God applies even today. It is not an exercise in futility to read the Word. So please remember that. But let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we're able to call on the Father's name, that we're able to be active in the church and to be able to learn our Word. And we pray, Lord, that when we leave the church, when we leave the four walls of our building, that we apply the Word and give witness of the glorious gospel and disciple people, families, nations, the way you told us to. So we pray, Lord, you protect us until we meet again as your people next time on the next Sabbath day of rest. And we thank you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.